Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Mark Cabali, the Pat McAfee Show, WWE.com, sitting across from me in Pony's chair. Pony out today, enjoying a little and well-deserved long weekend. Kaboom, Mike Tomlin, longest tenured coach in North American professional sports. Where does Mark Cabali zero out on him, like, right now at this point in his tenure?
Well,
like,
first talk about it. We checked every professional soccer team in
Mexico. The major four. So that's NHL, NBA, NFL.
So we don't know
NFL.
About Mexico then, huh?
But that's not a major sport across all of North America, Canada, Mexico, United States.
So you're basically saying
the beautiful game doesn't count here. Yes, the world's game.
Okay, what was the question again?
Where do you zero out on him, like, right now at this point in his tenure? Because I think there's good, there's bad, and at times there's ugly. But, like, where are you at on where he is now entering his 19th season as their head coach?
I think he's been a little bit resilient. Resilient for the fact that they've rebuilt a couple of times without really rebuilding. Their rebuilding stages are 8 wins, 9 wins. Obviously, Pittsburgh fans want more than that. They want the Super Bowl champions. They want the playoff wins. They don't want to get blown out in the playoffs. But if you come out on the other side of this, like the last time they had a rebuild, then you're pretty much accept that. I think that's still yet to be seen, but I think he's been quite resilient right now. But this, you're getting to that point right now of the next 2 or 3 years. I do believe there's going to have to be significant runs, especially after these last 2 or 3 drafts, or put themselves in the situation to be able to be competitive in playoff games, or then I think we can really, really start to think about
say they don't make the playoffs in any of the next 3 seasons, which is the term of his new contract extension that he got. Who would be, if you had to guess, more inclined to move on? Him, Mike Tomlin himself, or Art Rooney?
Wouldn't it always be a mutual decision, right?
Well, yeah. No, I know that they, just like the Penguins, have tried very hard to make sure everyone knows that they were more the ones who wanted to be done with Sullivan, even though there's reporting out there that suggests Sullivan was ready to move on from them. I know there's always going to be, with the Steelers, no one's ever going to tell you any full truth. Bill Cowher resigned. Was it finances? Was it something else? Was it whatever?
I think his wife was sick, potentially.
There was something there, but was it contractual? Yeah. But behind the scenes, forget about what they would say publicly. We all know that. Who do you think in that scenario would be more inclined to move on from the other party?
I think Art would say we're at that point right now. Because I don't just see... sort of like how Sidney Crosby's attached to the Penguins right now. I mean, you just can't see him going somewhere else. Right now, I cannot see Mike Tomlin making the choice of, I'm done here, I need to go somewhere else, I'm burned out, or I need a change of scenery. I just can't see that. I could see Art finally saying, you know what, I'm 70, what is he, 70 now, 70 plus?
He'll be there, but if he's not there, he's close.
Hey, I want to win one for myself as well.
I want some sort of legacy here.
So I don't know if he cares. I think he knows.
He's 72, Donnie? Yeah. Holy crap.
I think Art has solidified his legacy within the league. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Just for some
think
of the,
Art's a Hall of Famer? Yeah, what's the grounds where he's getting in the league's mind as a Hall of Famer?
Just a contributor.
Really?
I think that's pretty much.
I mean, he doesn't really have, like, his father is connected to the Rooney Rule. So what's Art's actual stamp on the league?
I think it's more of that. I mean, just not the Rooney Rule, but I just think just his behind the scenes, a lot of his that owners meeting stuff and just that type of stuff that we're not really accustomed to knowing the intricate details of is, I think, that will push him over the edge there. There's a bunch of difference. I mean, he pushed a lot for the digital age here. I mean, you know,
Art?
Yes, he was. He was part of the one of the original committees of that.
That knocks me on my ass here because I would imagine that Art's still using a rotary phone at home.
But look,
if he can.
Their multimedia department was one of the first ones that started getting this rolling, and I think he had a lot to do with pushing that forward. And I think a lot of the overseas games too, he had a nice hand in doing that.
Okay,
so
that's Art. Let me go back to Mike, though, for a second. Has he shown you to be in these last several years, has he shown you tendencies that make you think he's adapted to the NFL around him, that he's an adaptable head coach and that he's willing to make changes as he's entering what'll be soon his third decade as their head coach?
I think he's made changes, but I don't think they're as come as quickly as maybe the league's moving, right? I mean,
well, that's kind of where it is, where it's relevant for me. Like, has Mike Tomlin, you can either be, I think, a trendsetter, which I don't know if he'll ever be. He kind of was with the, I'm going to be bold and go for two a lot and go for it early. Yes. And then he like regressed badly to become more conservative. I don't think he's ever going to be at the front of the line with a lot of schematic stuff, because I don't ever really read him to be a super ultra intricate schemes guy. He's my guys are better than yours, and my scheme when they're playing it is good
nameless,
enough to beat yours.
Gray faces,
yeah, right? Well, just my best guys are going to beat your best guys. Like he's a Jimmy's and Joe's more than an X's and O's guy is always how I've read him. That would be my biggest complaint. I think he's been adaptable on the draft lately, and you and I can get into that here soon. But I don't know if he's adaptable enough on game day. I don't ever feel like he's made this big leap that I even think John Harbaugh managed to make to some extent on game day.
As in?
Like just the way he goes about coaching in games, like some of the crap that he has been criticized for, and I think deservedly, like the way he manages the clock, playing not to lose, like very curious punting decision, like inconsistent, you know, situational decision making by him. I don't really see changes, even though he's almost 20 years in now.
Yeah, and they have a pretty decent analytics department, but if you don't go by the analytics 100%, that sort of defeats the purpose. And it seems us
it undermines use, the it undermines yes. you and the analytics.
Yes,
if you don't.
So he goes with the feel a little bit. Hey, I feel like my defense is going to stop him on this one. Sometimes that's not right. That's not correct, and you can't go that way. But as in figuring out what the league is doing and catching up to them, I mean, the league is doing everything the Steelers have done this offseason a couple years ago. I mean, it looks like they know they need playmakers. They went out and got playmakers in the draft.
The league's trending back to like bigger, bulkier teams too, though. Yeah, I think because defenses are getting smaller and faster. Now offenses are trying to bulk up and say like, we'll throttle you into submission.
That's tough, though. That's really tough to be able to gauge when that will take effect, you know. Do you want to be that team to be the ground and pound defense, sort of like the Steelers are. I mean, this how the Steelers want to play or have they wanted to play was post Ben was run the ball, play defense, and that hasn't worked. It really hasn't worked to the amount of points.
Why do you think
need.
Mike wanted to go to that tack right after Ben?
Oh, familiar with it.
Do you think there's anything to the idea that they won a certain way and he knew Ben got a lot of the credit from the hoi polloi? I'm not saying like maybe inside those walls. Inside those walls, honestly, maybe it was different. They said, Mike, you're just as important, or you know, you and Ben are a team. Do you get the sense that Mike, to any degree, when Ben hung him up, wanted to win a different way because he was a little chafe that on the outside people said, it's all Ben, you inherited Ben, you did this, you did that, but it's only because you had Ben? Because like, I've always believed that he was a little insecure about that.
I never got that feeling. I never got that feeling that he was insecure. I got the feeling that they had to load up on defense just because of the draft, because the offense was pretty much set, and that's just how they had to work with what they had to their, you know, the best ability of the players they had were they were going to get younger defensive players, and now that's come to full circle there. I don't think he wanted it to go opposite. I mean, you figure, well, I guess that was early Cowher days when it was mostly running the ball with
Early Cowher was run the ball, let Ben just make a couple of plays.
By the time Tomlin came, Ben was pretty much primish.
I think by Tomlin's second Super Bowl, it was Ben's show.
Yeah.
And they were going to be a team built around Ben, even though the defense was really good. Yes,
so.
I think Mike's second Super Bowl was the one where the offense became Ben's offense. Coming up, let's talk draft, because I do think there's one area where I've seen a change in Tomlin. Maybe I'm being a little too optimistic. But I want to get your sense of what they did in the draft after day one, since that was the last time we talked. I know you were here for day two, enjoying delicious Archie's wings, things of that nature.
Spectacular wings.
You were supposed to go on with the morning show and probably talk about this, and then Mike Sullivan got parted ways with.
Sat there for about 45 minutes and
just hung out.
And looked at Crowley, pat himself on the back so hard that he almost threw up.
Man, I was going to say, like, Crowley patting himself on the back, though, is like the resistible force meets the movable object. He's, like, trying to pat himself, but he can't do it because he's not very strong. But then again, he's so brittle that he hurts himself anyway.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Anyway, PM team, Mulzy solo. Maybe I'm a little too nice. Vothen Ben, my former co-host, Mr. Joe Starkey, whose show I crashed earlier today, once said, Mulzy's got a very rough, gruff exterior, but underneath there's a heart of gold. And maybe he's right. Because we did just hear Mark Caballi, of course, of the famous Pat McAfee show, WWE.com. Mark can be read and seen everywhere. Opine confidently that Art Rooney II has already done enough to sew up Hall of Fame candidacy as a contributor to the game of football, citing his work in the digital age. There are people texting me saying, Art? Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
What? Doing, you know what, Mark? I'll say this. They're sending me the text message version of your favorite GIF. Dr. Steve Brule. Huh? Huh? For the record, I do not agree with you. If I were in charge of, like, does Art Rooney II get into the Hall of Fame? Yes, as long as he buys a ticket every time on every visit.
I think it's pretty much a sure bet. What do you think? What about Donnie?
There's a difference between you thinking it's a sure bet and you thinking that that's, like, deserved or warranted too, based on the merits here. You gave us the case as to why you think he will be. That's different I think he should be.
When did he take over? He has to have.
I always think of him taking over in, like, a true principle sense in, I'll say 2010 to put a round number year on it. Dan was still around. Dan was still doing stuff. Dan was appointed ambassador to Ireland by Obama. So, 08, Dan was still doing enough to be appointed ambassador, although that's not exactly like a high-stress ambassadorship. But I just, until Dan, like, really stepped back, I always thought he was still the final boss.
So, Jerry Jones, is he a Hall of Famer?
Would he ever, you know, win? What? He's won 3 Super Bowls as an owner. How many has Art won as, like, the undisputed principal?
I don't think you have the same criteria.
By the way, on the business side of it, Jerry has more of a case strictly based on how he's grown the NFL's business as essentially the shadow commissioner than Art does. And I think Jerry's a clown as, like, a personnel man oftentimes. But if we're talking about contributions to growing the game of football, I would put Jerry Jones in decades before I'd ever let Art Rooney get in there.
I'm just I'm just saying. Oh, look at that. Happy birthday, Pat McAfee. So I'm watching ESPN. How about that? I didn't send him a card. But I still think Art, I think he's in. I mean, other people probably could speak more intelligently of myself, like Eddie Bouchette or something, Jerry Dolak, because they're on the committee now, or at least Jerry is. But I never really ask around. But if I'd ask around, I bet you the people that vote would probably say absolutely yes.
I'm sorry, I got very like thrown off there because I turned to see what was on the TVs, and there's Will Ferrell doing like some sort of weird quasi nude scene in like an Ice Cube.
What are you watching
movie.
True TV for?
I don't know. There's an Ice Cube movie. I think yeah. It had to be the hockey playoffs were getting sent over to True TV. Anyway, I do not want to get bogged down in the Art Rooney Hall of Fame debate. I feel like this is one we can bring back just to blow ponies.
Well, it's just a contributor, too. It's not like he's taking he would take away somebody.
You understand, though, that many people hear Art and Hall of Fame in the same sentence in this town
thinking,
and get very frustrated by
because
the
they're thinking on the field. Think of what he meant to the league over his family's tenure.
I do not think anybody in this town is going to say, well, he did do so much for the league. People care about the Steelers,
the
NFL.
I'm just telling you what contributors
broadly.
Are compared to
No, I know. I know what they are. I do.
I know you do, but maybe the masses don't.
Anyway, Steelers draft post Derek Harmon pick. Give me a letter grade for the thing overall. The work that they did this year.
I think they did extremely well because I think they went in with a plan. They executed that plan. There was nobody you could really think and say, wow, well, first of all, why did you take him? And wow, you picked him too early. And I know those are subjective terms, but I think you go after the two defensive linemen that you need that you can really see play in year one, right?
Well,
you can see Harmon potentially starting.
He better be a huge contributor.
And you can see Black's, 18, 20, 25, whatever it could be, he's a contributor right away. Johnson, I think he's a guy that you will see. Obviously, he's a more dynamic version of Najee, but he still has those Najee characteristics.
How much better of a when we've heard about like scheme fit for Arthur Smith's running attack, how much of a misfit was Najee in terms of the way he liked to run versus what Smith wanted to run?
Well, what Arthur Smith said is he basically had to cater the run game to what
was that more about the back or the offensive line?
I thought it was more about the back. I thought that's how
because doesn't an outside zone type of scheme require some vision? For the back,
that's all it is. I mean, you block
put your foot in the ground
you
and then
block
pick the hole,
guy.
Pick the gap that you're running
yeah,
through.
You block the guy in front of you, and wherever the hole arises is when you got to cut it and get downhill. And I don't know, Najee was. I mean, he was decent, I guess, but that's not who was his forte. And then you throw that into him not being able to break the long runs. I think Caleb Johnson is a guy that can do both. I'm not saying this guy's starting right away. I could see him being. Week 7, week 8, before you know it, you're saying, wow, look, Caleb's getting more carries or touches.
Well, I think he's definitely going to get more touches.
I don't think he's going to be. I saw somebody say, I don't even know where I read it. I saw, well, he should be a pretty good player by year 2 or 3. He better be a good player by year one.
I think people are, warped with their – running backs that get taken, I would say in the first four rounds, ought to be big contributors for the teams that take them right off the bat.
You look 1-3 and 4. Jack Sawyer's a guy.
Yeah, why'd they take him? Because he's not a position of need. I know he's a big physical dude at the position because he's a converted DN, so he's heavy for the position. Yeah. But why did they take him as opposed to any other position? A quarterback a little earlier than they otherwise did with Will Howard. We'll get to him in a minute. But why Sawyer when they had other positions people perceived as needs?
The value is huge, right?
Okay. I think it's a good pick, but I want to know why.
But, you look what they've done the past couple of years, too. They've been just picking people up off the waiver wire to be that fourth guy. Because Herbig's been hurt at times. Watt's been hurt. Highsmith's been hurt. If you get this guy in here and he can fill in a game, he can fill in 15
He's supposed to be Preston
snaps,
Smith
right?
in his first year, right? He's your Preston Smith replacement,
Plus
I would think.
I mean, that's it. At worst. He's going to be a special teams guy from day one. If I'm Danny Smith, I put him at whatever, L2 or L3, whatever the heck they call him there, and play all four special teams position because that's the type of guy he is. And I think he can grow. I mean, he's made plays. He's big. He's tough. Great value. I mean, if you're at that point in the 120s, I'm taking somebody who I know that's like, hey, this guy's a football player. I think that's all.
I think the value is good. I just think most people did not like if the guy was not perceived as such an obviously better player than where he was drafted. I think it would frustrate people that they continued to fortify a position where most people see three established players.
I haven't really looked real closely, but who would you have picked instead there?
I always like to play that game, so I'm going to quickly go and look at it right now.
I don't think
there
was nobody
second.
That jumped out and said, okay, we could have.
So Sawyer was 123.
Yeah.
They had already taken running back. Jalen Lane, who went a couple picks later to Washington, the wide receiver from Iowa State that a lot of people are.
Robert
Woods
Virginia
under Tech,
contract, right?
From Tech. Oh, there by the way, yeah.
They already had him.
How about Alec Aominor, the guy from Stanford, went 12 picks later? He went pick 136 or 13 picks later. I mean, that's a guy that I think is interesting from a physicality standpoint.
There was nobody that's actually stood out that said, wow, you passed on him for him? Because
your
quarterback.
Well,
I think that
was where people, I think, thought they were going to go with Shedeur Sanders, which I want to transition anyway to that. How far down their board at quarterback was he? I mean, it seems like there's all the smoke, and I love that Tomlin does this. I actually give Mike credit. Anytime they get connected to a quarterback now, first it was Malik Willis, now it was Sanders in the draft run-up. He happily takes a bucket of gas and dumps it on that fire. Oh, yeah, I had chicken wings with Malik Willis. We had this great meeting. I'm going to give you the most detailed answer you could imagine on Shedeur Sanders
pre-draft.
The problem
is we all caught on to that quite quickly.
Well, yes, everyone did. Everyone, no one was fooled as much this time. It definitely did not throw people off the scent, but he had to be very far down their board at quarterback, didn't he?
I mean, I don't even know if he was on
was
their
he,
board.
Yeah, I was going to say, was he on their board even?
They're not going to come out and say they...
I mean, were you hearing that he was like QB 7 or 8 for them? Because it seems like he was.
I don't know. I heard, like I said, I've heard guys like Riley Leonard and Will Howard before I heard Shedeur Sanders, but that was a little bit down in the draft. I think...
Do you think there's any chance, by the way, Howard can actually beat out Rudolph for the backup job this year? No. He's destined to be QB 3.
People have to slow the roll.
Because Rodgers is coming here, right?
I would say anywhere between May 22nd and June 6th.
So you're giving yourself a solid 16-day window.
What I'm
for
telling
this.
You is it's going to be before mini camp and before offseason hits.
Would you say it's at the goal line, or is he basically already in the end zone? We just don't know that yet.
I'm not going to go to the goal line because
they're at the 5 yard line. Are they at the 5 yard line?
Too bad Pony's not here. We can ask him what goal line. You know, probably the 18 yard line, right? In the red zone. Or that the gold zone, what they call it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty much done deal.
And but they acted that way in the draft because they don't take a quarterback.
They've acted
till
like that. They acted that like the past 2 months, right?
So,
Will Howard, people have to slow down a little bit here. Just slow down.
Well, Ben says he might be. He's heard things that he's Ben 2.0, and then Ben threw a big shot at me, by the way, very clearly. I don't know if you heard us talk about that, but I think it's obvious that I had run afoul. You ready for this
one? Guy.
Hold on. I'll turn my mic off so you can actually hear it. Here we go. Oh, nope, not that one. Click the wrong one. Nope. This is what happens when Pony's not here. Here we go. This is Ben taking a shot at me.
You know, there was someone I heard there was a knock. Well, he played with a bunch of NFL caliber talent. Well, what's he going to be playing with now? Who did he beat NFL caliber talent teams to?
Right.
You know, it's just that's the most ridiculous remark I've ever heard. I don't even know.
Bolly, turn your mic off when I turn mine off, and then you'll actually be able to hear this because I realize you were completely not hearing it. Here we go.
You know, there was someone I heard there was a knock. Well, he played with a bunch of NFL caliber talent. Well, what's he going to be playing with now? Who did he beat NFL caliber talent teams to?
Right.
You know, it's just that's the most ridiculous remark I've ever heard. I don't even know who made it.
So I did say that at some point about Will Howard, and we just sniffed that out and feel like that's a shot at Malzi.
Well, he just heard it from somebody.
That's like what I mean.
He doesn't have social media.
No.
When he snapped on me one time in the Oakland game, he says, "Yeah, I heard your. I saw your tweet and stuff." I said, "How would you know? You don't have social media, remember?"
How'd that go? Anything response from
him
on that
he
one?
Didn't. I mean, you know, we know that he gets sent stuff. Everything.
I like to imagine somebody prints it out and hands it to him, like a president gets
it could
like a
be.
Briefing.
I know Art does that. Art gets everything.
That is not surprising.
I know that.
Art gets a tweet printed that says Pony Express. This sucks. He has to read it. Why is that man's picture Mike Tomlin's college ID?
Yeah, that is kind of a strange.
Will Howard, by the way, just your final thought on him. I've cut you off.
I mean, slow down a little bit. He is. Pick what? What?
185.
For a reason. It's okay if he sits a year. It's okay if he doesn't get money snaps for past OTAs or in the mini camp. It's fine. And you know what else is fine? It's fine if he's a long-term backup, too.
What do you think his ceiling is? Like, if you can, when I say ceiling, I do mean the best outcome for Will Howard.
It's tough because the ceiling you have is, I don't even know if it's a ceiling or not, is those games in December and January where you look like a star, right? Now, is four games make a career? Can we really figure with those games he played in the highest level can translate into the NFL? No. I mean, let's see what he can do a little bit here, but I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be, you know, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, or anything like that. But if he's a guy like Landry Jones, and people don't want to hear that, if he comes out and if he's a Landry Jones career, that's fine. You're pick 200. You're a sixth-round pick. That's very important in the NFL to have that guy, a stable number two guy. That's fine. You don't have to throw him in there as the next Big Ben, the next whoever. And I don't think he – I mean, I'd hate to limit what he can do until you see a little bit more. But to me, it seems like that's where he's destined for, right? That's what I look at it.
All right, folks. Dudes like to talk about dumb stuff. Not breaking any news here. Sports talk is sports talk. Sometimes sports talk turns into dudes talking about dumb stuff. I don't even know where this whole thing started at this point because it's become so ubiquitous. It's just the topic and all. You don't think about who got it going. But it's, could 100 men kill a gorilla, ultimately? Mm-hmm. One gorilla, 100 men. Is that gorilla walking out of there with a pool of blood 6 feet deep? Or are the guys with mass casualties, admittedly, eventually conquering the gorilla? Now, how are we turning that into a power ranking? Good question. How are we localizing it? Better question. Right now, Mark Cabali, Donnie Football, and I are going to power rank the five all-time Pittsburgh athletes you'd want fighting the gorilla with a little bit of logic as to why. We'll go me, Donnie, and then Cabali is our guest. We'll let him get the third one in. So here's how it's going to go, Mark. I'm going to give my number five. Donnie's going to give his number four. You'll give your number three. I'll go two. Donnie will be the one who gets to pick number one. Then we'll all fill in the blanks behind on where these guys were on our list. You ready? Number five. This is going to bring the house down right off the bat, Don. Number five, give me Harry Greb. Who was Harry Greb, you ask? Only one of the 10 or so best boxers, pound for pound, ever to live. A middleweight who often fought heavyweights. He is the only man alive, well, he's dead now. He's the only man to ever beat Gene Tunney, a legendary heavyweight. Harry Greb, probably, he's not Billy Kahn, not Fritzy Zivic. Harry Greb, the best fighter ever to come out of Pittsburgh. Better than Paul Spadafora, better than Manessen's own Michael Moore. I want Harry Greb giving the old 1-2 to the gorilla. He's going in there. He fought much bigger men. He can fight a gorilla. Known for his impressive power as a middleweight. He's going to go in there fearless, too.
Donnie, just take it. Just set him straight.
Harry Greb. I know you guys didn't have him. I'm not even going to ask that you had him.
But we should have known, Mark, that he was going to go with a boxer.
It's
on
the
his
sweet.
List.
Well, wait a minute. So why don't you? Oh, should I have picked a golfer? Should I have put Rocco Media on the list?
No, absolutely not.
Wait, time out here. First of all, the gorilla got a head, as Joe Starkey would say, twice the size of yours. It's probably made out of titanium. What is a boxer?
Oh, titanium-headed gorilla, huh, Mark?
So what?
Oh, is that you studied the animal kingdom?
So what in the world is a boxer going to do to that?
Oh, okay. So tell me what your picks are going to do. A boxer, a person trained to beat up other people, is a bad pick somehow.
Oh, you're like punching into a steel wall there. No way.
Okay. I can't wait to hear what you're going to have for number three for us. Mark's going to have like a figure skater that came from Pittsburgh.
Use their skate.
They can't use weapons. Oh. This is pure hand-to-hand. Donnie, number four. I'm not even going to dignify this by asking either of you if you had the legendary Harry Greb on your list.
No, I did not. My number four is actually going to be Aaron Donald. So the pit legend, I mean, the man, it just looks like a freak of nature. He's going to be one of the few guys that has the body type that even gives a prayer to have a battle with a gorilla one-on-one. Not that anybody, any one man, would have a prayer 1v1, but Aaron Donald, one of the few guys that I think does have a shot.
Wow. I'm a little surprised with that.
So, Cabali, now do you have You had to make a hasty list of five here. I hope you made a list of five. Did he appear anywhere on your list?
No.
All right. Surprise to most of you, maybe. He's number one on my list. An absolute just compact ball of muscle. Do you remember that video?
Too small.
Where the guy tried to shake him down and say he beat Aaron Donald up, and then the video emerged from that club, and it's just Aaron Donald ragdolling people who are trying to beat the guy up in the first place. That's a lot of like just regular old human beings he's throwing around, but he is throwing them around like they're chairs that he's, you know, moving through. He's moving through 200-pound people like they're nothing. I know that the gorilla is much stronger, but he's number one on my list, so I'll spoil it right then and there. So he's not in your top five, Mark?
No. I mean, I would say maybe five, but no, I got much more violent people.
You'll have a chance then to prove this in a minute. Number three on your list, Kabali, so give me your number three person.
Number three, not number one.
I go five, Donnie went four, you go three, I go two, Donnie gets to go one, we backfill after that.
So the worst.
You clearly did not make a list, and you're just deciding
who
would be number three.
So we're not going one, two, three. Number three.
Yes, I just want your number three, and then we'll ask if we have that.
See, not a lot of people are going to get this unless you covered the guy, unless you talk to the guy.
Okay.
But the great Oakland-born, Oakland-bred, Oakland, California. Marvell Smith, one mean S.O.B.
You think you're not, people aren't going to get it. Guess where he was on my list? Number three.
Monster.
I had him at number five.
But see, I think this is the power of your rhetoric, Kabali. Every time we've had this tough guy competition, you're the one who comes on, and Hathorn does it too. But you have come on, and Hathorn's come on, and probably somebody else, and said, oh, you guys all say, you know, James Harrison or so-and-so is the toughest. Don't sleep on Marvell Smith.
Man, he's a guy.
Well, that's why they have weight classes, by the way. If you've got like a 6 foot, 250-pound guy, and then what was Marvell? Like 6'4", 6'5", 320, 310?
Mean. He would be a guy. Oh,
was he mean on the field or mean on and off?
I mean, not mean, but he'd just like glare at you and grunt at you and
stuff. 6'5", 321.
Oh, Marvell.
And he could fight too, right?
He has a bad back. Made him retire.
We're getting Marvell in his prime
in his
here.
Prime.
We're not getting Marvell.
Prime Marvell. Yeah. So I go again? Is that what you're saying?
No. So I had him at three. Donnie had him at five. So now I can put Marvell Smith in. All right. Number two, you guys are not going to be as pissed off about as Harry Greb, which is the ultimate hipster pick. I don't know. If I were fighting a gorilla with a crew of my best Pittsburgh athletes, you know what I'd want, Don? I'd want somebody who displayed intensity. I'd want somebody who displayed integrity, and I'd certainly, for strategic purposes, want somebody who displayed intelligence, and I'd also want that person to have won Olympic gold with a broken freaking neck. Give me Kurt Angle for number two. I knew that one would get a pop.
Guess what? Kurt Angle is my number one name.
Olympic is that a Pizza Outlet
gold
commercial on TV
medalist
right now? Kurt Angle.
I think we played his pizza commercial.
Oh, we did.
Once.
It was. I've said this many times. This is not like the first time I've made this observation. So if you've heard it before, just humor me. Mark, you watch pro wrestling. Could you have ever imagined when he was on Fox 53's 10 o'clock news doing the angle on sports, looking like a terrified toddler at the camera, that he would become one of the best mic guys in pro wrestling?
I mean,
he was a total natural, though, in wrestling, but. You put him on a teleprompter and ask him to read highlights, and it was just a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, it's a great story because he came right after the Olympics, and they wanted to give him a lot of money to sign, and he's like,
with WWE,
this is fake wrestling. I'm not going to do this.
He left a little bit on the table there.
He passed. He comes back. They give him like the entry level contract, and the guy, he was like a five tool guy.
He really was. He's one of the best. He might be the best like pure all around performer.
Had one of the best rookie years in WWE history.
He did. Taz got him good, though, in that first match for Taz.
Yeah,
debut.
And then 1 year later, Taz got eliminated from the Royal Rumble in like 5 seconds.
That's correct. So, Kabali, where did you have Kurt Angle?
I didn't even have him. I'm totally confused of how you were doing this. I thought you were just going like one,
I
two.
Think this is pretty simple how we're doing this, Donnie. I asked him for who would be his number three on his list of five.
Yes. I mean, no, he's not on my top three.
Okay. Donnie, you already said he's number one for you. All right, Kaboom. Who was your number five? You have Smith, Marvell Smith in there at number three.
Number five, standing at 6'7". I like the big guys. 340 pounds. He may have only played for the Steelers very little, but the big Flozell Adams.
Flozell the hotel. Holy crap.
And that was one mean SOB there, too.
You got to have Isaac Seumalo on there. You always talk about how mean he is,
it's not the worst,
tribal chief.
It's not the worst idea in the world if he just has the biggest offensive lineman he can find, and they're just swarming the gorilla.
You got to get Pouncey or Webster in there, too.
All right, so that's
Pouncey was like a junkyard dog.
That's number five. Donnie, we'll just switch this up. Donnie, give me your number three.
Three was Greg Lloyd.
Oh, God.
Because he has a martial arts background, too.
He's also, I know, he's a...
one of the scariest SOBs of all time.
I've never been around James Harrison. I've heard that he plays up the intimidation factor and can be pretty funny. I was around Greg Lloyd for 25 minutes when Josh Miller and I did a little interview segment with him. Genuinely gave me the most terrifying vibes of any pro athlete I've ever been around. Not close. Like, Roy Jones Jr. was once out there, like, thought he was going to get pissed off at me for something I said. We were just shooting the breeze about like a Kobe LeBron debate, and I was actually like trying to trade opinions, and he clearly just wanted his out there. Way more scared of Greg Lloyd just looking at me funny than probably the best pound for pound boxer in the world for about a 5-year run. Here's who I had at number four. You ready for this one? So I had Harry Greb at five. You guys are mad at me. You know I had Donald at one, Angle two, Marvell Smith three. Here's one that fell through the cracks. We want wrestlers here. We want football players here. Carlton Hasselrig. Get a dude that can do both. Bad, bad, bad man, Carlton Hasselrig.
Good move. I went with James Harrison at number two.
I kept him off the list. It felt too obvious. They all called him Silverback. I'm not recruiting him. He might anger the actual gorilla because that was his nickname, and then the gorilla's going to fight even harder. It's obvious if you're going to pick Harrison. Oh, yeah, the guy that all of his teammates called him that. Yeah. Yes. So, no, I did not put him on my list. All right. Again, I'm convinced here that Kabali does not – he's just putting this out there on the fly.
Yes. Maybe you told me 4 seconds before we went
that
on
was the
air.
Point. I wanted you to just – I wanted you to have
you
your –
You want
list.
Me to, like, write it down
give
on
me
my
three
notes.
More. Give me three more names.
In order?
Four, two, and one.
Well, we know who – we'll go with four. We'll go outside the football era here a little bit, and we will go a big man, a now Hall of Famer, the Cobra, Dave Parker.
Now, he's not allowed to use a bat or throw a ball at it.
Oh, he's a big dude, too.
Scary guy. I agree. Good pick to go baseball. Number two.
Me?
Yeah, it's just Donnie and I have our whole list out there, man. This is incredible.
I'm totally confused.
It's incredible power.
I know who my number one is. Well, number two. Nah, I'll go easy number one. I'll go number two first. And this is a guy that is another mean SOB.
Yes, yeah, so you don't have exactly choir
offensive
boys
lineman,
on this team here.
The guy, he's just a leader, and that's what you need when you're taking the gorilla.
Pouncey.
Down. Marquise yes. Pouncey.
Most definitely, Jim. I just hear him like talking to Colony. Most definitely. Jim, most definitely we fought that gorilla.
If he needs to be dirty, he can be dirty.
And we know now that his new post-playing career, he'd get the gorilla liquored up on wine, and then he'd just fight the drunk gorilla.
I mean, we can't have post-playing career Pouncey because the man's just way too small.
He's like 210.
He's like 150 pounds now.
He weighs less than Pony.
Does Dorian Dickerson count as one?
Like, as a guy we could put on this list? He played high school ball around. Yeah. He played at Pitt. We have Aaron Donald.
I got my number one, though.
Number one.
Piece of cake. His name is Mean Joe Green. If you see Mean Joe Green right now, aren't you saying yes, sir, no, sir?
Yeah. I mean, but he's more of like a regal. He's more of a regal presence now than a fearsome.
Now?
Well, yeah. And back in the day, obviously.
He's kicking people in the
Ed Ott. We've got Ed Ott erasure here. We have no Ed Ott picks on this.
Did I win or something or not?
No, you actually lost forever. That was like the most, that was like pulling teeth for me.
I just thought we were going to do like the candy ranks. I didn't know this like 1, 3, 5, 7. I don't know what
you're
talking about.
I did not think this methodology was that complicated. Anyway, Mark, thank you for participating.
I win.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.